Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, February 12th, 2015. And with me today, I have my experts in all things that they think they're experts in. Kelly Gaumont, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. And I also have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good. I'm good.
Giddy awesome. Giddy up. That's Dave.
That's Dave. Yeah, but you know, I picked it up from him a long time ago.
All right. So
I don't do it as well as he does, I'll be honest.
No, he's the master of giddy up.
It's true. Yeah.
And that's not a euphemism.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. He is just the master of giddy up. And but it was great the way you channeled Dave's giddy up. So well done. Anyhow, I figured we could start off today by taking a look at Apple's real strong stance that they're taking on recruitment fees and bonded labor practices that have been just very commonplace in the factories where employees or factory workers are making iPhones and iPads and Macs and stuff. Apple released their 2015 Supplier Responsibility Progress Report yesterday. And this is not something that they're required by law to do. This is something Apple chooses to do as part of their effort to be transparent about business practices and work conditions with the partners that they have around the world. Mm-hmm.
So the subject has come up a couple of times indirectly because there are lots of things that Apple does on the environmental side that it does not have to do to meet local regulations. And there are lots of things that Apple does on the labor side that exceed local regulations. Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, Apple has long been trying to deal with the child worker situation. Mm-hmm. In Asia. Mm-hmm. I think Apple still has a ways to go before it solves that particular problem, if it is ever solvable. But Apple is at least working on it.
And let me point out that this is one place where no other tech company seems to really be copying Apple.
Yes.
Like, we're not seeing this from other people who are coming out voluntarily and saying, this is what things are like here. These are the things that our company is doing in order to lessen our impact on the environment. You're not seeing that from anybody else.
It's true. So I'm delighted to see yet another thing that Apple is stepping up and doing. I mean, the whole Asian labor market thing is it's so complex and it's so... it's so easy for us, especially in the developed world, to just take for granted the fact that someone built our iPhone and not think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
So, you know, and these things do bear thinking about.
Like you said, Brian, this is the thing I think a lot of people miss out on when it does get discussed, if at all, and that is that it is complex. There's a lot of nuance. There's a whole lot of external forces. There's a whole bunch more to it than just, you know, they have kids in factories and that's not okay. And that's like where a lot of people stop. And there's so much more to it than that I think a lot of people maybe don't realize. And it's something that things like this report from Apple help shed some light on. Apple's doing it in order to show off what the things are that they're doing. They want to be transparent about, here's the things that we're doing, here's what's being worked on, here are the steps that we've taken. And, you know, what their report isn't going to have is the history of this, how everything got to the way that it is, how everything ended up here. You know, all we're seeing from them is the steps that they're taking to resolve it. And I think that that's good, but it's something to keep in mind. Like, it's not a black and white issue by any of the imagination.
That's true. Yep. And Apple's been very clear about that. The lead-in to this report coming out, Jeff Williams, who's he's senior vice president of – oh, I just forgot. Anyhow, he's the guy that's in charge of a lot of this. And he said that
he's operations, isn't he?
Yes, operations. Thank you. And he said that Apple hasn't fixed this problem, but they're working on it. And Apple is very well aware of the fact that there are ongoing problems, and they're working on fixing those things. And so I think that's great that Apple is not trying to make it look like they have gone in and magically fixed these worker condition issues. Mm-hmm. I also think it's great that Apple has been very transparent about the problems they're finding.
Right.
I just think it's really great that Apple's been so transparent about this. And I do like that they've been able to make some progress, and that they're also being realistic, and they know there's a lot more that needs to be done.
Well, you know, one of the things I think that Apple probably isn't overtly saying but is true is that just as with the recruitment of children to work in factories, these bonded situations are coming about because of collusion of locals.
Yes.
It's factories and or hiring agents that falsify children's documentation.
And the bonded worker situation is the thing that prompted us to be discussing this today, because it's part of this report that came out.
Correct.
Okay.
But that's also a product of collusion between hiring agents and factories, or you know, individual managers at factories, mm-hmm. or whatever. And a lot of that's coming about for a number of reasons. First of all, there is the local lack of giving F words or S words. And two is the fact that there's a lot of money at stake, and Apple needs an incredibly large workforce. And so Apple puts a lot of pressure on its manufacturing partners to fill these ranks. So, yes, you know, it's true. Like there's lots of different factors involved here, and it is good it's good that Apple's working on it, but there's still a long way to go. And I'm sorry about the trains, and I guess I probably should add, all aboard.
Yeah. Okay. So these fees that are being paid, they're also referred to as recruitment fees, and that's something that happens in the United States as well. But there's a big difference that when it's happening in the United States, it tends to be a situation where someone is looking for a specific type of job, so they hire an agency to go and find them that job, and then they pay whatever the fee is for the services that were used to get them that job. Or a corporation will hire headhunters, mm-hmm. that go out and look for the employees that they need, help them recruit them into the company, and then mm-hmm. and then that corporation pays the fees to the headhunter.
Right.
What we're seeing here with the factory workers that are making the electronics that we're using every day is that this is being done in an exploitive manner, where the people that are getting saddled with these recruitment fees they're being taken advantage of, and they're being put in a situation where they are in debt just to start a job, and then getting out of that debt is extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm. In a nutshell.
There you go. Yeah. So these are the kinds of practices that Apple is trying to stop, you know, as far as worker recruitment goes. And yes, they're still working on getting children out of the workforce. They are still working on reducing the number of hours that factory workers are expected to put in, and making sure people are getting breaks and days off. And one thing that I wasn't aware of is that over 800,000 workers have taken advantage of the free education program that Apple offers. So people are getting free classes in all different types of topics and skills, and in some cases they're actually earning college degrees for free just by taking these classes that Apple offers to workers. I think that's pretty cool.
That's
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, I know a lot of people in the United States who don't have a program like that in the place that they work.
Yeah, that's true.
Where the opportunity is presented to you, if you want to do this, the company will pay for you to learn a skill or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, I have a hard time believing that every one of those classes that people are taking happens to be related to how to assemble an iPhone. So clearly they're trying to prep these people to be productive members of society, aside from the fact that they put devices together. So I think that's another sort of feather in Apple's cap, which is great. And, you know, people are going to – I know that we're going to hear from people who are going to complain about Apple having done this because it's not enough and one thing and another. And I would like to find out from that person what phone they have in their pocket and what that company has come out and publicly stated that they're doing to resolve issues like this.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be very telling. And in most cases, I think we know what the answer is.
Yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable silence because we're getting uncomfortable silence from those companies on this front. And so I'm going to call for it again. Please, Samsung, this is the thing you need to copy from Apple. And everybody else, I want to hear this from Dell. I want to hear this from Microsoft because you know those Xboxes aren't being made here in the States. I want to hear this from every single other company. I want everyone to come out and have a report like this that says, here are the conditions in the factory where our stuff is made, and here's what we're doing to improve those conditions. Bring it.
Yep.
Yep. There you go. Yep. All right. So yay on Apple for being so transparent about the efforts that that they're putting into improving working conditions. And okay, everyone else, time for you to step it up.
Yes.
And okay, now there's a place where Apple ought to step it up, and that's in the App Store, the discovery system for finding the iPhone and iPad apps that you're interested in.
Preach!
Is, as in Steve Jobs' own words, a bag of hurt. And so much so that for me, when I go hunting for new apps, I actually don't go into iTunes and look from there. And I don't go into the App Store app and look from there. I go to Appler because it's a much easier and less painful way for me to find apps.
As do I. Which is APPLR for those of you playing along at home. And I would like to point out that I think I can pretty safely speak for Brian on this, that Brian and I have a very similar assessment of finding apps in the App Store. And if you couldn't quote either one of us on this show. Let's just say that.
Probably not. So anyhow, Apple is making an effort to improve that, and I find it absolutely fascinating that the way they're doing that is by teaming up with Pinterest, which is the social networking site where you pin or tag online content so that other people can see the content that you're interested in. And now there's this new collaboration between Apple and Pinterest. Apple has their own Pinterest page, and you can follow that and see applications that way. And any applications that have been pinned by Apple or by the people that you follow, you can then you'll be able to see that app much easier. And so it becomes a very social way of app discovery, which is also the idea behind Appler. It gets better, though, if you're using the Pinterest app on your iPhone or iPad, because whenever you're looking at a pinned application, there's a button that appears on the screen that that lets you buy or just download the app if it's free. And you tap that, and it takes care of that without you having to go through the whole App Store process. So you're not really even having to leave the Pinterest application to get applications now.
Right.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And I think this really underscores just how broken the app discovery process is in the App Store.
Broken implies that it was ever working in the first place. I mean, this is something no one has solved. And this is something that no one has solved. I mean, like, you know, buying books online is a miserable experience compared to going into a bookstore, in my personal opinion.
I agree completely.
Buying music online at iTunes or Amazon or Google Play or anywhere else is a much different and I would say inferior process than going into an old-fashioned record store and flipping through records, especially now where you can end up hearing most of those records before you have to buy them. I mean, you know, in that particular regard, to me, iTunes certainly gives you a fan, being able to preview everything is definitely a step forward. But finding the things that you want to preview is still hard. I mean, this
yes.
this discovery is difficult, period. So it's not like this is just something that and I'm not trying to make excuses for Apple either, but this is not just something that, you know, Apple has sort of dropped the ball on or that Apple hasn't bothered to fix. I mean, this is everyone struggles with this. Amazon has made a lot of investments in this area, and Amazon has certainly brought some innovation to the discovery process. But even still, discovery on Amazon is not wonderful.
I agree. And even still, with all the technology that we have available to us and the tech savvy that we have, you know, the three of us right here, most of my app discovery, music discovery, book discovery, and movie discovery is still happening through word of mouth.
Yeah, word of mouth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, if you ask me how I discover new apps, that's exactly the thing that I would tell you, is that I ask other people. I talk to the two of you. I talk to other folks. You know, I go on Twitter or whatever and say, hey, I'm looking for an app like this. You know, what do you suggest? And then I go from personal recommendation. Looking in the app store ceased to be an option many years ago for me.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys seen this on Pinterest?
I have not yet.
Yes, I have. And I mean, it's just like any other Pinterest account, really. Mm-hmm. But what Apple has done is they've made groups of or categories.
Boards.
So
they're called boards on Pinterest.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I need to work on my Pinterest nomenclature. Sorry about that, people. Yeah, but they have different boards for different types of app categories, like famous people. What are the apps that they're using? Or right now they have some fashion related things because Fashion Week mm-hmm. is the thing. And then as other topical things come up, they'll make special boards just for those. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested to see how this works out, because there's definitely a demographic that really gets into Pinterest and uses it for all kinds of discovery. So mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting to see if that works equally well for App Store content.
Well, and whoever it is has clearly heard of Pinterest, because there are only 5 boards under the App Store's account right now. One of them is Fashion Apps. One of them is App Store at Fashion Week. And then the other 3 are People Plus Apps, which I believe to be more like the celebrity playlists you can see in iTunes. And then Editor's mm-hmm. Choice, which makes sense, and Healthy Recipes. And honestly, a goodly portion of the stuff that I find on Pinterest that I end up stashing for myself is recipes. So somebody here has nailed it. I think all they're really missing at this point is...
You are such a liar. You are like swimming in like Doctor Who and Hello Kitty and...
Now, my boards are different. I have geeky things, I have crafty things, I have eaten things, and I have from my real house. And I have and eaten things is, I think, the biggest one, even more than Doctor Who.
All right. See, a lot. But you do have a Doctor Who Pinterest.
Oh, I do. Because, hi, okay. Have you met Kelly?
Yeah, I have. That's why I was calling you on this.
So, of course, I'd have to have a board of nerdery. So I do. And the nerdery is rampant, if you know where to look on Pinterest. And, but, like, you know, one of the few things they have on here, like, they have fashion and they have healthy recipes. And the people that I follow on Pinterest, when I look at it, I see a lot of, this is a cute outfit. And I see a lot of, I can't wait to try this recipe. So, you know,
so,
by those
so
means,
in that
I
sense,
think,
it was really smart, the category or the boards mm-hmm. they started with.
Yes, absolutely. What I'm curious about is if I can start a board of apps that I like and pin them the same way that Apple is being allowed to, or if I can repin those for myself. I'll have to play with this a little bit and maybe report back on it.
Yeah, please do. Actually,
that would be awesome.
You should let us know exactly how it works.
Okay. You heard it here first.
So that's right. So we'll do a follow-up after Kelly sorts all that out and let everyone know exactly how they can use Pinterest for app discovery. Awesome.
All right.
Hey, we're out of time. Yeah, I know. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. Adios, buckaroos.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is always great to have both of you on the show. And thank you to all of our listeners. And if you want to chat with us directly, you can do that right through Twitter. Our Twitter account is @TMODaily. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.